not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows unto his own flesh will reap corruption of the flesh. But he who sows unto the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This week we continue this series titled The Backbone of the Church Life, with speaking from brothers Jim Miller and Tom Getz on the critical role of the working saints in the church life. This meeting was held during the 2015 International Memorial Day Conference in St. Louis, Missouri. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
Praise the Lord, saints. My name is Jim Miller. I'm from the church in San Francisco, and I know a number of you all recognize you anyway. I'd like to just share for a few minutes about my own, my own experience, because we're sharing a lot of our experiences. I was saved and brought into the Lord's recovery when I was 22, and I'm not 22 anymore. It's been a while, been a long time. And in that time, I've passed through a student life, a brother's house life, a married life, married with children life, busy businesses, and bearing a lot of responsibility in the church and in the churches where I've been. And there's a verse in Galatians chapter 6 where Paul begins by saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If he sows unto the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life. If you sow unto the flesh, you reap corruption. And I would just say that that's been a verse or something of the Lord speaking in me for many years, and I can testify how faithful the Lord is. I mean, this is a principle. If you sow with a view, if you live with a view to gaining something in the flesh, you reap corruption. But if you sow, if you live, that is, if you direct your life with a view to gaining something in the Spirit, you reap eternal life. Amen. Both in yourself and in those who are around you and in those who you serve in the church life, in the Lord's recovery. But sowing is not something that has a quick result. Agriculture is a very slow process, right? Even if you're in the business of fruit orchards and things like that, you may have 4 or 5 years before you can eat off of your tree, right? There's not much of an immediate gain. But I think in my experience and passing through your where many of you are, you know, students and married and children. Now I'm a grandpa, and I'm enjoying the cream of the human life. You know, that's what grandpas are. You know, this is just great, you know. I told my daughter one time, I said, you know, nobody plants a tree for the shade, right? You plant a tree for the fruit, right? She didn't like that, right? And I probably shouldn't have been quite so frank, but anyway. You know, there's a human life, there's a human side to our enjoyment, but I can just testify to the faithfulness of the Lord. And then... thank the Lord that He's put us in the church life, where we're nothing but encouraged to sow, to live with a direction toward the Spirit, toward the Lord's purpose, and not to gaining material, psychological, fleshy benefit. And of course that takes a word that most of us don't like to hear. We don't like to hear sacrifice. And what does sacrifice mean? It really just means you don't do, you don't live, you don't choose what it is you prefer, but you choose and you live, and even you habitually give yourself to sow your living to the Spirit, to the Lord, and to His purpose. So I of course, all those years for me were lived in the church life, and I really can say I don't have a shred. I can't think of anything that I would regret in choosing to go the way I did and continuing to go this way for as long as the Lord will give me. Maybe one little practical thing that I would like to talk about, and that is the busyness of the family life with children. And how children are affected by the church life. In the early years in the Lord's recovery, the corporate meetings of the church were numerous and frequent. 4 or 5 nights a week we would meet corporately, sometimes 6. Not in our homes, but in the hall. And that was the focal point of our church life. It was a busy life, but we had 3 children and about 6 years, 3 children. And our children, they didn't spend too many nights at home in their bed for the first part of the evening. We'd pack them up into the car and put them into the seat, and we brothers in those days, we had a really pretty handy little playpen. We called it our cross. We'd pick up our cross, put it in the back seat of the car, and then drive half an hour to a saint's family that we were babysitting with, and then drive back another half hour to the meeting hall, and then go back and get them after the meeting, and then go home. Made for a long night, right? But, you know, our children, you could say, well, they were kind of sacrificed, you know, and we sacrificed. But really, my kids grew up church life kids. They didn't like to stay at home. They didn't need to stay at home. They were blended together with 3 or 4 other families in the church life. And so, if the sister would be the one to stay home with children, then my wife would miss 1 meeting a week, and she would make 4. And of course, when the children all came to her house, it was quite a lively scene, right? But there were enough age variation in the bunch to distribute the labor a little bit, right? And they all had they're very close to these children they grew up with, and they've been there as an aid to them spiritually, and vice versa. So, the church life is a busy life, but it's not a loss to anyone who's involved in it. Another thing I would say, and I know my wife. Was a very big part of my being able to spend as much time as I did in the church life. And one thing that she did with my children, which was very helpful to them. Of course, all children like to have their parents, both of them, at home. And the families benefited by that. But my wife learned very early on when my children would say, "Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy?" She would tell them in a very gentle way, "Daddy serves the Lord. Daddy's taking care of important things." And in telling them that, she let them know that she was perfectly fine with Daddy being gone. It wasn't a problem with her. So eventually, it wasn't a problem with my kids. I was in my extended family. I was what I'd call the invisible uncle. You know, we'd get together for family gatherings, and there would be 11 or 12 cousins, and plus the parents who bore all those cousins, and grandpa and grandma. You know, and they would always eat dinner on Saturday night, and that was the night we had the young people's meeting. And so I was just out of habit. I mean, I was just fed early. And I would eat, and I would be gone. And it was kind of the family, extended family joke. You know, if I showed up, I was, whoa, what are you doing here, right? But my point is, in our family, my wife's attitude toward my absence in serving in the church life, I had a business. I wasn't serving full-time. I was very involved in business, and I was very involved in the church. And her ability to explain it to the children in a way that did not sour them or did not leave them unhappy was very wise. So I just say that as there's a lot of young families here. It's how you manage it. And it's what your view is. So in the church life, our children were, you know, every once in a while they'd have a hard time with somebody. But the church life to them was their living. The church life to them was where they were going with us in their early years. And today it's their living by the Lord's mercy, right? So I'd just like to share that as a practical experience that I've had. I thank the Lord also that in these days where I'm from, we've been having some special time to focus on this age group in the church life and to emphasize very much that, you know, we tell the young people, you're the future of the Lord's recovery. But you saints are the present. You are the saints who even in the Old Testament order of things should bear the greatest burden in the carrying out of the church life. The backbone's an illustration that's used often for you guys. Also, you know, I injured my shoulder while back, had surgery, and I had to go to physical therapy. And my physical therapist would always say, we've got to build up your core, Mr. Miller. And I would say, what's my core, first of all, right? She said, well, it's your abdominal muscles and the strength from, you know, the center of your being out. And I said, well, what's that? I don't need to, you know, I'm a little big around here, but, you know. It's my shoulder. Didn't they tell you? You know, I got a shoulder problem, right? And she goes, well, listen, if your core is weak, all your members are weakened. If your core is soft, not strong, your whole body is affected by that. And this is really true in the church life. In fact, we've been realizing that, of course, in the church life, for the church to grow and to prosper and to increase and spread, there needs to be a proper leadership in the church life, right? There also need to be and should be full-timers in the church life, and many of you are serving full-time. But just as in our body, the strength of our body is in its center, in its core, so in the church life, the living and the service of your age, you know, in the numbers, it's 30 to 50 is the age of the priestly service in bearing the testimony of the tabernacle, right? The strength in that age group will determine the effectiveness of the labor for increase and spread, as well as support the leadership, the headship of Christ in the body. So maybe sometimes you think that it's just, boy, we're getting to be the age now where everything comes to us, right? Where we got to do all this stuff, right? Well, it's much more than that. And I thank the Lord for your testimonies that you spend, your desire to spend time with the Lord. and also to spend time in the ministry. Oh, saints, you know, the more we enter into these things we're receiving, the richer we are, and I'm just awestruck at what the Lord continually unfolds to us, month after month, and week after week, and year after year. So if we enter into these things, and if we place ourselves in the Lord's hands in the church where we are, we will be most blessed. Right? We'll enjoy the Lord's supply. We will be blended and built up with others, and the Lord will have a very solid testimony spreading. Not just spreading, but the spreading of His testimony, of His one body. So I'd just like to share that all with you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.